Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Get ready, Bucks fans. It's time for Bucks Insiders on Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai. Your courtside connection every Thursday at 12:35, powered by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Bucks Insider is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Our weekly check-in on all things Milwaukee Bucks after a fine win last night. Kind of a convincing wire-to-wire, drama-free win. We like that. The Bucks 1-0 and off to Toronto for game number 2 of the season. On his way to the airport is Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. It's Eric Name. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well. So it was kind of fun to watch last night's game. What's different? What's new? Who's new? How do the rotations sort of plan out? What I was most interested to watch is just how much more pace the Bucks played with. And Giannis even mentioned it after the game. We're young. We're fast. And they shoot a lot of threes. So broad view, they look young and fast and like a team that's going to shoot the lights out of the ball.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you kind of listen to what a team says in the preseason and in training camp, and then you watch the first game, because I think a lot of times we get to training camp and there are many buzzwords. Every team is playing faster in training camp. Every team is shooting more threes. Every team is being more physical. Every team is trying to run a little bit more. These are things you hear every year, and you never really know if it's real or not. The Bucks took three-pointers on 4 of their first 5 possessions last night. Miles Turner had one of them. And then on the 6th possession, Giannis passed it to Miles Turner in the corner. Miles Turner pump faked and then threw down a tomahawk slam on a Washington Wizard. And it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what they're going for this year. This is a little bit different. And obviously, among his fans in Milwaukee, I don't know if there's any bigger than of Brook Lopez than me. I always really enjoyed talking to Brook. He is a great player. But there are many things Brook Lopez can do on a basketball floor. That is not one of them. He cannot pull off that play, and it just kind of kept going from there. You know, they take 28 threes in the first half last night. They only took 28 threes or more in the first half of the game 3 times last season. This is a team that is really built this way. This is the only way that they're going to be able to play, so they have to play this way. And I thought the first night of the year, again, it was against a Wizards team that I think most places predict to win 20 games this year. So it's not a very good basketball team, but at least all of the things that we were told in the preseason, told in training camp, played out on the floor. And that's always kind of what you want to see, just to be able to execute your plan and have it go the way that you want.
We liked the fast start. We liked all the threes. We liked the win, of course. Also, another big moment last night, Chris Middleton's return. Can you take us to that moment inside and how emotional it was for the fans? And was it an emotional moment that was also a factor on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a the relationship Chris had with Milwaukee was just so cool. The relationship him and Giannis had was just so cool. Like, when you listen to those guys kind of talk about it, I was happy to chronicle it over the years. I know they did an episode of Finalysis recently where they talked about it.
Yes.
As well. But, neither of them were expected to be who they are. Giannis was a first-round pick, but everyone thought he was going to be in the G League for the start of his career. Chris was a throw-in in a trade, a second-round pick, a guy that was playing in the G League in his rookie season. And then in Chris's rookie year and Giannis's first year in Milwaukee, his first year in America, they're fighting at practice. One of my favorite stories I've ever written at The Athletic is Giannis, showing me, his arms and saying, yes, I'd go home and I would tell my mom and my dad, I'd say, this is Chris Middleton. This is what Chris Middleton did to me. These cuts are Chris Middleton. He's been doing this to me. I need to get back at him tomorrow. And you just, You don't get that in the NBA anymore. There's so many transactions. There's so many trades. There's so much free agency that you don't get to have those kind of relationships. And, you know, we were lucky enough here in Milwaukee to see it happen for 11 years. So last night, Chris Middleton's first game back in Milwaukee after getting traded last season was going to be an emotional one. You know, at The Athletic, I had talked to Chris about it over the phone before he got here. You know, we got to talk to him yesterday at shoot around, and you could just kind of tell Chris is very even keeled. He is not someone that typically shows emotion. And you just wondered, like, oh my gosh, is he going to get in the game and cry? Chris was very happy that he didn't cry during the tribute video, or when they announced his name for, you know, the starting lineup, or when he walked off the floor. But he did get standing ovations in all three settings, which is just kind of a really cool thing to see, that Chris was able to get, you know, standing ovations in all those spots. Nobody cried. The game didn't get, you know, shut down or delayed for any amount of time because everyone was just so emotional. But you did just kind of see the city kind of appreciate what Chris had brought, and also Chris was able to show his appreciation. And after the game, I thought because him and Giannis are so competitive, you know, I had kind of joked with Chris after the game, like, man, aren't you getting a little old to be taking charges against Giannis? Like, I don't know, man. And he took one in the second quarter, and he said, well, I might be, but I'm even older to try to go up and block his shot. So I knew I had to do something. So taking a charge was the right decision there. But, you know, even when he's talking about, like, hey, did you take a look around the crowd and see how many 22 jerseys were there? He kept the joke he's been running for the last week, where he was just like, yeah, I did still see some 34s. So I didn't really like that. I wish it would have been all 22s, but I did see that. And it's just so crazy to me that, you know, people spend their money to buy my jersey, and then even when I'm playing for a different team, to still wear it, or wear it to school, or wear it to work, or wear it out, or wear it at an event, or any of these things. And he was like, it was just so cool to see. And, you know, both him and Giannis have lost their fathers. Yeah. And one of the things that he mentioned was, like, I loved it, but I know that my dad would have loved to see it even more. And you could just tell it was a really emotional night. Luckily, for Chris's sake, he was able to play well as well, because obviously he cares so much about what he does on the floor. You know, 23.6 rebounds, 3 assists.
Sure.
A very Chris Middleton night. He was very efficient. He didn't get the win, unfortunately. But yeah, it was just a really cool night at Pfizer Forum last night.
So you mentioned two names here, talking at length about Chris Middleton, talking about Brooke Lopez. And this team looks different, Eric. I think if you went to the Bucks game last night, you're maybe grabbing the program like, oh, wait a minute now, where did we get that one from? Where is he from again? Right? Because at this time last year, it was Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, guys who are closer to receiving their AARP card than the legal voting age, which there lies some of the issue with the Bucks. They maximized the window with these guys. They won a championship. But when they got to the postseason, candidly, they looked kind of old and slow. Was it a concerted effort from the Bucks GM, John Horst, to find a team that could get up and down and floor a little bit more, play with a little more pace, run a little bit more, and fit into today's NBA, sort of a more modern style of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think the headline issue was trying to get underneath the second apron, which is so punitive right now. And if you listen to a lot of people talk about the NBA, you're going to hear about salaries and salary caps and kind of all of those things. And I think cutting some salary off the roster was a big part of this summer. And that started with the trade of Chris Middleton last year at the trade deadline. But once they got to this spot, I think redoing the roster and getting a roster that could really run was going to be a huge part of what they were trying to do. And, you know, Doc Rivers kind of bristled at it when I brought up the idea in training camp. But I said, man, it feels like you and the whole league are trying to copy the Indiana Pacers. And he was like, no, we're going to be ourselves. But you know, this is a copycat league and you do see what teams are doing. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that Miles Turner is the guy that they helped bring in and, or they brought in to help kind of move this along. He is only 29 years old, 8 years younger than Brooke Lopez. But he can really move as a center. And then you just kind of go down the line and you look at their attack last night. You know, Giannis has 37. He's always going to be, you know, the head of the snake, the head of the attack. And then they have six more guys in double figures, two more guys after that that had 9 points apiece. So, and in between there, you don't have another 20-point score. You have somewhere between 9 and 17 for eight more guys on the roster last night. And that is a very Indiana Pacers attack. Like, it's a very egalitarian approach where everyone's going to get some chances. Everyone's going to get some opportunities. And I think one thing that Doc kind of talked about in the post game was, you know, we might not have a number two scorer, like a guy that we know every single night is a number two, but we have a whole bunch of guys that can be number two that night. And I think that was a big part of the attack, getting younger. And yeah, I mean, I put it in an article at The Athletic the other week, but, you know, this is the first time Giannis has ever been the oldest guy in his starting lineup, ever, his entire career. He's never been the oldest player in the starting lineup. He is that this year. Giannis has never been the guy with the most NBA experience on the entire roster in his NBA career. He is that this year. And that's not even saying Giannis is old, right? Like, he is in year 13, but, like, he still isn't old. He's still in the middle of his prime. So it was definitely a concerted approach and one that they executed on similarly to the way that they executed on their game plan last night.
Eric, real quick before we let you go, Kevin Porter Jr., he got injured last night. What do fans need to know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a left ankle sprain. It looked pretty bad. Doc Rivers said he was going to get an MRI today. I would say from the early indications from the team, I would guess he's going to miss some time here. For the Bucks, that means Cole Anthony steps up. That means Ryan Rollins steps up. Ryan Rollins started at the end of the season over Kevin Porter Jr., so I guess Ryan Rollins slots into the starting lineup here for as long as it takes, maybe a couple weeks, while Kevin Porter Jr. is out. But the way the Bucks made it seem, he is going to miss some time.
Off to a good start here. Bucks heading to Toronto. So is Eric Name of The Athletic. Don't forget your passport, Eric, and we'll check it again soon. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eric.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep, you bet. Bucks Insiders, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.